Our opening hymn is found on page 413 in your United Methodist hymnal. Please stand as we sing together. A Charge to Keep I Have.
A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fitted for the sky. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill, oh, may it all my powers engage to do my Master's will. On me with jealous care, as in thy sight to live. And do thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray, and on thyself rely. Assured if I my trust betray, I shall forever die.
Will you join in the call to worship that you found in the bulletin? The Lord is our shepherd.
And we know our shepherd's voice.
You have chosen us as the first fruits of salvation, calling us to receive the good news of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God for such extravagant grace. Praise the Lord.
Now our Apostles' Creed is found on page 881 of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to 396 as we sing together, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
O Jesus, I have promised, serve thee to the end, be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me, the world is ever near. I see the signs that dazzle, tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thee nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, gently hear thee speaking in accents clear and still, above the stars. storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee, that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master.
You may be seated.
We'll join together in the prayer of confession, which you find in the bulletin. Gracious God, we call upon you, for you will answer us. We confess that we have transgressed in our speech and have not always avoided the ways of the violent. Our steps have not always held to your paths. Try us, forgive us, heal us, dear God. Set us on your right ways and guard us as the apple of your eye, embracing us once more to your steadfast love. Amen. Now the declaration of forgiveness. Through grace, Christ gives us eternal comfort and good hope. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Let's just come forth for the offering.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we do welcome this time in the service. We bring to you our tithes and our offerings. May we give generously for the work of your church and the glory of our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to join the children? Come forward.
Testing. Today might be a little teeny bit longer because I have a couple of stories to tell you. My first thing is, have you ever done something for someone and they didn't even bother to thank you?
Yes.
It really hurts your feelings, doesn't it? Especially if you did a really big effort and then they didn't even bother to thank you. Well, I'm going to tell you this story. Around 2 a.m. on September 8, 1860, the steamship Lady Elgin collided with a schooner named Augusta in the waters of Lake Michigan near this town in Illinois. Well, both ships started sinking. There weren't very many people along the shore to watch or anything. And there was only a very few people on the ship that could get to the lifeboats. Well, that morning, you realize it was really early in the morning, 2 a.m., a student from Northwestern University, Edward Spencer. He was a strong swimmer, and he rescued 17 people over a six-hour period until he finally collapsed. A rope had been tied around his waist as he battled the fierce undertow to reach each person. His brother would pull the rope back over the breakers to bring Edward and another survivor to safety. Each time he would go out after one more person. Edward was left so weakened by his injuries in his efforts to rescue these people that he remained an invalid, confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Some years later, in Los Angeles, Dr. Torrey told the story about this young man's concern and his heroic deed. To his astonishment, he found that the young man, now an old man, was in the audience. In talking with the rescuer, he asked him what was the most significant thing about the rescue, the thing that stood out most in his memory after all these years. The rescuer dropped his eyes and said in a low voice, "Not one said thank you." Not even later, as time had passed, none of them. Anyway, that left him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He didn't go back to school, and he was even concerned that he didn't save enough people. So, what is tomorrow? Do what now?
We honor the people who fought in the war.
Right. They didn't necessarily have to fight, but they served in one of the branches of the military. They don't have to be dead. They're alive. You recognize them, and you recognize those that you see, all these young kids out there, because they're serving us. Well, originally it was Armistice Day, and it was the end of World War I. So that they could, later as we had other wars, they decided to go ahead and change it so that all veterans got to be honored. So do you know why it's on November 11th? That's right. That's when they stopped fighting. The 11th day of the 11th month and the 11th hour. So it's always November 11th. They don't get to have it on a Monday so we can have an extra holiday. So we have that day to pay respect to all of those who have served. So every time you see someone, we have a neighbor and he didn't ever serve, but every time he sees a military person, he always goes over there and thanks them. So we need to try to remember to thank these people. I mean, they're doing stuff we definitely don't want to go do, or I don't, but let's say our prayer real quick. Dear Father, we remember and honor those who have served to protect our freedom. Serve and protect our freedom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
It is time for our joys and concerns. Jimmy Branham, they are going to be driving back to Washington. Of course, we hate to see you go, but you'll come back. And we pray for travel mercies, just safe travel, and that you will get there with joy and peace and remembering us down here as we remember you. Chuck is requesting prayer for Ed, for Ann, and for Lynn Skinner for health issues. Each one of them is going through a health problem, and if you all will remember to put them in your special prayer list. I also want to take this moment to praise Dick for the work that he has done with the prayer list. It is a labor of love when you take up the mantle and you do something for your church and for the people that know that we are a praying church. So while it is sad to see that he has come to the decision, he feels that it's time to send the baton down the road, and we'll be looking into that. But I want to make sure that each one of you today on your way out, shake his hand, give him a hug, give Mary a hug. She has supported him all these years, and that deserves praise. But we thank you, Dick, for putting your heart all these years into the prayers of the church and of the community. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. And you're never late, and you're always in time. We lift up, my Heavenly Father, those that have health issues. Lord, you know exactly what they are and what their need is. We pray, my Heavenly Father, as they continue their journey of healing, Father, that you will protect them, Lord, that you would place people around them, Lord, that will be able to encourage them, pray for them, Lord, that you will bless the hands of those that are taking care of him, that of all of them, the doctors, the nurses, everyone, my Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that they will be able to feel your presence. And we trust you, Father. We know that you hear us, and it is because of that trust that we have on you. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our reading today is from 1 Samuel 7:12. And it says, Samuel took a stone and set it up, and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The meaning of Ebenezer originates more than 1,000 years before Christ, during the ministry of the prophet Samuel, who played a crucial role at a key moment in the history of God's people. God raised up Samuel as the first prophet, God's special instrument to establish the kingship of Israel. And yet, apart from the extraordinary stories of his birth and calling, and his extensive involvement with anointing Israel's first king, Saul, and anointing the second, a very young shepherd, David, we know fairly little about Samuel. What we do know is that during his early days as a prophet, Israel received back the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines after 7 months they had lost it in a war. So distressing was to lose the Ark that when news of it came to Israel's judge Eli, fell back from his chair, broke his neck, and died. 1 Samuel 4:18. Sadly, even with the loss of the ark, the nation was not yet ready to come before God in full repentance. It took 20 years for the people to be sufficiently humble to turn to Samuel to lead them in restoring their relationship with God. Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. 1 Samuel 7:5. There are people that would fast and confess collectively their infidelity to God. So they gather there to do exactly that. And they said, we have sinned against the Lord. 1 Samuel 7:6. But when the Philistines heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they took it as an opportunity to march against them, for they were enemies. And when Israel heard that they were coming, the nation panicked. The people pleaded to the prophet, do not cease to cry out to the Lord God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Samuel responded by sacrificing a lamb to God on behalf of the people. And as he did, the Philistines began to attack. But God heard Samuel and answered with a magnificent display of power. The Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day that everyone could hear, especially against the Philistines, and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them. 1 Samuel 7:10 to 11. God heard the cries of his people through Samuel and came to their rescue. Then to commemorate God's mighty intervention on behalf of his people, Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and call its name Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine all the days of Samuel's life. 1 Samuel 7:12-13. In Hebrew, Ebenezer means a stone of help. Samuel wanted the people to remember, not just for a few days, but for years, for decades, for generations, how God had come to the rescue of his people when they humbled themselves before him. They were vulnerable with their enemies approaching, and they did not deserve God's rescue, having been so chronically unfaithful. And yet in his gracious fidelity to his covenant people, God intervened with thunder to throw Israel's enemies in confusion and turn their enemies into the vulnerable nation that he did. Of course, this will not be the end of Israel's story. Many more dangers, toils, and snares were to come. Samuel raising the stone of help was in no way a declaration that the final victory had been won, but that up to that point, God had helped them. Till now, the Lord has helped us. And because God's people weren't yet out of the woods, this Ebenezer had a part to play in the remaining story of the nation of Israel and part of our own story. So it is with us today. Our stories are not yet over, and we are not yet out of the woods. Many more threats await us, and many more things will assail us, and many more attacks will come against our faith. And we know our hearts are helpless apart from turning and sealing of God's grace on us. We are prone to wonder. Yet as we live in the tension of these moments, where Christians are persecuted for their faith, where churches in America are being closed for lack of attendance, where we think so much of ourselves that we think we're capable of solving every problem that arises in front of us without humbling ourselves and without going to God in prayer, we forget that we know who our God is because he has shown himself to us. We know who he is, but still, we're prone to wonder. He indeed is the fountain of every blessing. He is the one whose streams of mercy never cease and will be new again tomorrow. And not only has he shown himself faithful in countless small kindnesses and rescues, but principally in the death of his own son, Jesus, for us, in the mountain peak of his redeeming love, the Ebenezer we call Calvary today. Jesus spilled his own blood to rescue us when we were wondering. How much more will he now save us from the dangers that are to come? He has raised the stone of help, and with it, our hope that the problems we as a church are facing today, if we humble ourselves in prayer and turn back to him, he will do for us what he has done for others. He will be our Ebenezer, our stone of help, our place of refuge, and our guide. When we sing, "Here I raise my Ebenezer," we are poetically quoting Samuel, who raises the Ebenezer stone to remind the Israelites of God's help for them in their time of trouble. The words fit well with the sentiment expressed in the hymn. O thou fountain of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing. call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glories fill my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive home. The words of the hymn remind us that God is truly the fount of every blessing, who deserves our prayers, our worship, and our praise. Although the words here, raise my Ebenezer, sound obscure to us today, they do express the sincere attitude of gratitude we should have to God, who is our help in time of trouble. You all know that I'm visual, so you know that I'm going to do something, because I just feel it in my heart that sometimes we have to find a way of humbling ourselves. And sometimes we need guidance to do that. All of you have a little pebble in your hand today. When I said that our church, it's going through some stuff, the church is going through some stuff. But it's not only a financial problem. It is an illness of the spirit. The only one that can help us now is God. We might be able to raise money that might last for years, but the problem that we have, the illness of the spirit, will still be here. We need prayer for come up, get our heads above the water. But the prayer, the faithful prayer, the one thing that cannot stop is the praying for each other, the praying for our church, the asking for forgiveness collectively and individually. I know that I have offended God. I know that I do it every day. I know that I don't mean to. I know that I don't go and rob the bank, and I know that I don't kill anyone or anything like that. But I also know that putting the sermon together doesn't do me any good in heaven. And I also know that every day I need the grace of God to walk through the day and then arrive at tomorrow. All of us do. So having that little pebble in your hand, what I would like for you to do, and only do it if your heart calls you to do it, is walk up to the altar and lay your stone of help in this jar. The only one that can help us is God. Doesn't matter how much we think we can do. Doesn't matter how intelligent we are. Doesn't matter how many things we have gotten from the bottom and make them flow and make them pretty. The only one that can help us now is Jesus Christ. So if you feel in your heart that you can also raise your Ebenezer, come forward and put your stone in our yard, and I will leave it there until the Lord tells me to take it away. It is up to you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, when we are uncertain about what we should do, show us your ways. When we don't know which way to turn, teach us your path. In everything we do, we ask you to guide us. Our hope is found in you from the moment we wake until the moment we fall asleep. You are our Savior. You have rescued us from sin, and we ask that you would protect us from making sinful and bad choices. Clear our minds of interruptions Stop the weapons that have been forming against us, Lord. Guide us, my Heavenly Father. Help your church. In Jesus' name we pray. You are Lord over all. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have heard the heart of your people. Allow me, Father, to stand for Samuel today and for this church. We need your help. You're the only one that can come to our rescue. Forgive us, my Lord, for every offense that we have given you. Turn your eyes back to us. Be our Ebenezer. Bless your people, bless your children, bless this place, and bless the community, Father, that we're trying to serve. Go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Verse 2. Embracing God's children of each tribe and race. With your grace you feed us, with your light now lead us, unite us as one in this life that we share. Then may all the living with
God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend. Week. We just go from Sunday.
That's right. Okay. Not a problem.